Chapter 3. With an upgraded Tesla pistol in one hand and a frost grenade in the other, Sam Brock barreled through the rusty hatch and caught the four Dre Commandos by surprise. The grenade caught the furthest away pair perfectly, slowing their charge to a slow, crunching, fume-wreathed trudge. The nearer pair she nailed with a volley spread from the Tesla pistol. Webs of deadly electrical discharge crackled and lit up the anteroom's corroded bulkheads with actinic flickers. The slow-mo Dre Commandos were thawing out and getting closer, so Sam switched to the harpoon, a long-barreled weapon that launched barbed spines of ice. She fired, caught one in its shoulder with a force that threw it backwards, and impaled it to the bulkhead, dangling and dead. But the Tesla-stunned pair were coming round, so she hit them with a second frost-nade, harpooned the fourth Drake as it bellow-charged, and de-legged a pair of Hyronites as they entered from the other hatch. The Razor Lariat zipped back into its wrist pod as she stepped smartly past the prone armoured bodies and exited the anteroom. Weapons reloaded, she turned to see a short, low-roofed passage leading to a platform at the edge of an immense, cavernous area lit by floating clusters of polychromatic globes. From the edge of the platform, an opulent antique staircase sloped down out of sight while a string of letters hung in the air before her. Defeat the Hecaton and his 100 generals. This was it. This was the climax of Death Colossus, the senses-shattering grand finale in which all of the solo players' victories and patiently gathered alliances would be brought to bear. The Hecaton was the controlling intelligence, a huge biomechanical planetoid leading a fleet of heavily armed battle Goliaths straight towards Earth. The deranged core mind of the Hecaton lay at the centre of the Sanctum Chamber, guarded by his 100 generals who were grouped into five-hand squads, each deploying different combinations of weapons and abilities. As she strode to the head of the staircase, Sam could see her allies poised and waiting in similar openings spaced around the heights of the chamber's sloped ribbed walls. There were the reptiloid scavengers, the freed prisoners, the rebellious cyber thralls, the warrior bands of the Sensect hive mind, and others, all awaiting her tactical plan, her deployment orders that would set the opening conditions for the final glorious battle. And she felt, well, not bored exactly, more like blunted by the certainty that the narrative would resolve itself with an all too neat tying up of all the loose ends. This was the 34th Headspace game she had research played, according to the parameters of the historical VR combat project, to which she was the only assigned operative. It had not taken her too long to notice patterns in gameplay, in cultural assumptions, and in narrative flow, which increasingly made for predictable outcomes. Not a little of that, she knew, was the result of commercial pressure to create entertainments for a wide audience. But depressingly, the very fact that she was here on Orsafel Corporeata, stuck away in the dreariest corner of Knossos base, was also part of a pattern. Yeah, Sam thought sourly. I'm getting good at pissing off my COs. Practically got it down to a science. But it was these Eartha senior officers, they were supposed to be highly trained professionals, dedicated, knowledgeable and meticulous, yet almost from the moment she graduated from Melbourne Bastion, she had seen sloppy, careless behaviour aplenty. Even as adjutant to a high-level ES colonel at the Banner's HQ on Fandrek, she had come up against lazy planning, imprecisely worded orders, procurement and supply errors, most of which she had been able to catch and fix, thereby avoiding damaging repercussions. Except when her secret diligence had corrected a mistake in a delivery order, which hadn't been a mistake, and exposed her CO to the glare of a probity inquiry. Sam was officially commended, but shortly thereafter found herself transferred to the 11th Armour Guard and assigned to a high assault company. Before long, The 11th was in action against Gamedran marauders, who were raiding Agriworlds near the Fensar border. They were tracked to the edge of the Karkol deep zone, to a rubble system that was little more than a brown dwarf orbited by clouds of asteroids and minor planetoids. It was there that her attention to detail and strategic intuition prevented the ambush and capture of the Indra, the task force flagship. Once more she was praised and commended, yet, somehow, she wound up here at Knossos Base, playing antiquated games and going nowhere. "The deadest of dead ends," she thought. "Not exactly what Papa had in mind when we left Tigra 10 years ago." Refocusing her attention on the finale of Death Colossus, she sighed, thought for a moment, then switched into the game's control menu and activated the heuristic autoplay mode. Now, disembodied from the player character, Sam floated over the Hecaton's huge chamber as battle was joined. Employing her playing style, it took the game more than 10 minutes to reach the climax point, where the player character fought past the generals to the Hecaton's metamind cores and destroyed the one containing the cognitive persona, thus ending the battle. Sam made numerous voice notes throughout, and as soon as the Hecaton was reduced to an ex-evil biomechanical menace, she froze and quit out of the game. Automatically, the neural interrupt ceased, and she was dumped back in her own body, senses seesawing for a long moment before she adjusted to reality. The headspace Tiarette had relaxed its grip around her temples, and the contact stalks had retracted into the neck brace. Removing the Tiarette, she hung it on a slender chrome stand nearby. The room was small, square, and spare, blues and greys that extended to the data console and the low recliner. Feeling aches in her neck and back, Sam stood up and put herself through a series of stretching exercises. She drew water from a recessed dispenser, took a Nutri-Stick from a drawer in the console, and sat back to review a transcript of her notes on the display. It was still the early afternoon, so she could, if she wanted, make a start on Combat Archive 35, or not, if she wanted. She fingered a few light keys, calling up the next game. It was blessed with the title Draconis Excelsior, and appeared to have a pseudo-medieval setting, and an involved system of character creation, with added detailed tweaking of abilities and appearance which, over the last few weeks, she had found herself becoming increasingly engrossed by. She was about to reach for the Headspace Tiarette when a short, tinkly sound came from the console, heralding an announcement from one of the base's sub-AIs.
"Lieutenant Commander Brock,"
it said in that no-nonsense, formal, masculine voice.
"Priority communication from Colonel Pulaski. Please stand by."
Sam sat up. The base commander? What had she done? What might she have done? The console's sizable display lit up with the head and shoulders view of the colonel. Grey-haired and gaunt-featured, he stared out of the screen with flinty eyes. Sam gave a quick, snappy salute.
"At ease, Lieutenant Commander," said Pulaski. "I have in the last half hour received new orders regarding your assignment. Your new assignment, that is."
The colonel frowned.
"The abruptness of this is highly irregular, but I have had V-Line confirmation from Admiral Manning himself, so it is official and immediately actionable. Lieutenant Commander Brock, you are being seconded to work with an operative sent by one of Earthsphere's more exotic allies, the Construct. This agent is, I understand, a sentient combat drone, which has previous experience with humans, mainly during the Darien War."
The Darien War? Her parents had had only the most peripheral involvement in the events that led to the ouster of the Becker faction on Tigra, while the Gideon Cader were fighting to the death in defence of Darien.
"Sir, may I ask, why me?"
"I put that very question to Admiral Manning," said Pulaski. "All he could tell me was that you were their choice. The Construct intermediaries asked for you by name. As for the assignment itself, well, I was not made privy to any details, so it is safe to assume that it deals with matters both sensitive and crucial."
Sam sat back a little, the hollow anxiety in her stomach warring with a sense of anticipation.
When do I ship out, sir? Where will I rendezvous with the construct machine?
The answer to your questions is on its way to sublevel 2 now and should be with you very shortly. The drone arrived not long after the new orders. Barring the formal courtesies and some small talk about the Gometrin scavenger problem, I learned very little, apart from its insistence that you be ready to leave at short notice.
Then, like a crack in a weathered cliff face, the colonel smiled faintly.
I believe your visitor has just arrived, Lieutenant Commander. He will have a copy of the orders for you. We shall speak again before you depart.
The display went dead, and a brief moment later the door announcer chimed. Third Phalanx Drone RE-6891 to see Lieutenant Commander Brock.
Admit,
she said, getting to her feet, straightening her simple dark green duty uniform. Through the open door floated a dark grey drone which, at first glance, seemed rather boxy. On closer examination, she quickly saw that the main part of it resembled a squat polyhedral about a metre across, its facet edges rounded, its dark surface bearing a dull metallic sheen. There were 8 rounded, cone-like projections positioned as if at the corner of a cube. They all had a similar dark grey metallic look and, she realised, were flatter on their undersides.
Your CO tells me that you've been carrying out a study of early-stage immersive combat games, said the drone. Have you played Citadel Shock?
Sam frowned as she thought.
No, that title is not familiar. I have researched one called Starshock, though. It was quite inventive and peculiar.
The drone began to float around the virtuality lab.
Ah, yes. The ancient asteroid city of Mofrakel, with the death tunnels and the Psy Snakes, and all that swapping bits of alien DNA in and out. Still, Citadel Shock was groundbreaking for the time. You should try it, once we've returned from this mission covered in glory.
She regarded the drone with wary uncertainty as it continued its circumnavigation of the room. The construct and its hyperspace force of sentient war mechs had been a source of both reassurance and unease for Earthsphere since the Darien War. Many times Sam had imagined meeting one of those enigmatic machines, but this wasn't quite what she had expected.
The Colonel said you were to deliver a copy of my orders, sir. RE-6891. I'm sorry, how should I address you?
Just call me Rensic, and I shall call you Lieutenant Commander, or Brock, or both, if I'm feeling especially officious, and these are your orders.
A narrow aperture opened in the flank of the drone. A thin, shiny cable snaked out to deliver a small blue cylinder into her outstretched hand, then whipped back inside the slot, which sealed up. The cylinder split down the side, and she slid out the message leaf, saw the official seal of the Director of Earthsphere Defence, a signature and several lines of text between them. She read the orders, reread them, then tucked the leaf back into the container and closed it.
Rensic, she said carefully, these orders say nothing about my duties or my role, except that the mission is vital to Earthsphere security, and that I shall be under your direct command and supervision.
Is that a problem, Lieutenant Commander?
No, sir. I shall cope with and adapt to whatever situation I'm ordered to confront.
Well answered. Bit too much of the eager minion, though.
The drone glided towards her, halting to hover at head height about 2 feet away.
Now I need you to stand very still for 5 seconds. Can you do this?
She frowned but nodded.
Yes, sir.
Good. Beginning now.
With breath held, she stood to attention, keeping stock still, yet her thoughts were a ferment of speculation. Should she be anxious about this and imagine the worst, or just wait and gather more data? She suddenly realised that the both of them were surrounded by a gauzy, shimmering veil.
There we are, said the drone, Rensic. I have enclosed us in a hard-field projection of the pair of us. Any observer will hear me talking to you in grave and serious tones about the movements of stealthed hegemony fleets in the denser swirls of the Karkol deep zone.
Sam smiled faintly, which would be genuinely worrying if it was genuinely true. And I have to say that I wasn't aware that base security extends to this lowly corner.
It's an AI overseer system, the drone said. My passive detects have been tingling from the moment I entered this place. Anyway, now that we can converse in private, I can proceed. I assume that you have heard the term exotic megastructure?
You mean like the asteroid triangles explorers found around that star in the fourth Modenel? She said. Or the Dyson bowl some church is trying to build in Mitrage?
You're on the right lines. For some, engineering on a vast scale is its own justification. About 100 millennia ago, over in the galaxy that you call Andromeda, a gaggle of utopian altruists drew together the resources of several civilizations and built an artificial star system, complete with over 200 planets. Some worlds volunteered to become part of the thing. Others were donated and re-engineered to suit whatever functions suited the builder's plans. The Great Harbour of Benevolent Harmony, they called it. Anyway, to cut a long story short, the completed megastructure turns out to be a centre of great political power, which naturally attracted all manner of parasites and sycophants. After a century or two of intrigue, corruption and treachery, some worlds were expelled and others admitted in their place. After yet another century of this, the Great Harbour was starting to become the exact opposite of what its builders had intended. But then, what else can you expect from organic sentience? After spending several tens of millennia touring the Andromeda Galaxy, exacerbating conflicts and starting new ones, the Great Harbour was confronted by an alliance of the civilizations, which it had victimized and otherwise abused. They hounded it across the stars and, after a gigantic battle, forced it to flee into the intergalactic void. That was about 17,000 years ago, since when there were no confirmed sightings.
Until now? Sam said.
If I had a human face, I'd be wearing a sardonic smile. Thankfully, though, I don't.
The drone drifted back slightly.
The thing is lurking in the Indroma Solidarity, not that far from the Earth-sphere border, in one of those near starless gaps the Paramount Council of Indroma so tenaciously holds onto. The unknown powers that control this megasystem are ruthless and brutal, and they have left a string of wars, destabilized civilizations, and plundered planets in their wake. Our job is to infiltrate, gather intel, contact anyone resisting the rulers, and help them to do it a bit more effectively.
What does this Great Harbour look like? She said. And how can a star system move around?
Your guess is as good as mine, Lieutenant Commander. Most likely these worlds are connected in orbiting bracelets or some arrangement of staggered rings. As for the means of mobility, I can only speculate on giant hyperspace drives powered by part of the output of the artificial star. Perhaps. We'll know more when we get there.
What kind of threat potential does it present?
No idea. It could be bursting at the seams with heavily armed battle fleets crewed by demented cyber cannibals, or it could be a decrepit, burnt-out wreck too feeble to put up a fight. But we couldn't really be that lucky, could we?
Listening to all this, Sam had found herself feeling more and more that fate was at last working in her favour. A new door had opened, and on the other side was, well, unknown hazards, possibly mortal danger, or at least the risk of physical injury and disease, but also new vistas, new creatures with strange names, new worlds, and the secrets that every society tries to bury. Acting as Pathfinder in a hostile environment would be an invaluable experience, and at last prove her worth to her superiors, and show that a Tigran colonial was the equal of any other officer in the Earthsphere Navy. During her brief, thoughtful silence, the drone Rensic cancelled the hard field projection. The shimmers of its energy mesh dissolved like misty threads.
That pretty much explains it, Lieutenant Commander,
the drone said. Thank you, Rensik, sir. How long before we depart?
As long as it takes you to pack your gear.
That would be about 5 minutes, sir.
Acceptable. My ship is parked under the roof canopy. You'll like it. The passenger compartment is fitted with Circum audio and has a comprehensive archive of mid-21st century Sino-synth pop.
She paused at the door.
Sounds impressive, sir, but my tastes run more to boom and pulse. Ah, the sound of dissident youth, the drone said. Ranged or auto-improv?
Ranged, sir. I prefer intentional genius.
Nice. See you on the roof.